Morning, everybody. I'm Norm Byers. It's my pleasure to share with you here this morning. And the name of my message is Everybody. I got a message this morning for everybody. Have you ever gone to a meeting and you figured out maybe halfway through or maybe a minute into it that it wasn't for everybody? It wasn't for you. You really shouldn't be here. You were required to be there, but it wasn't for you. Have you ever experienced that before? Just raise your hand. Well, I'm so glad to tell you that I have a message today that is for everybody. It's for everybody. It doesn't matter if you are like a person that's just maybe beginning your journey with God or maybe just beginning to try to understand who God is. It's for everybody. Maybe you're someone who's been a believer for a long time. You're a mature believer, we might say. It's for everybody. Great news that this meeting that you've been called to today is for everybody. We're just beginning our study on the Sermon on the Mount. We began that last week. You can go back and listen to the first talk. And our theme this year, you may have noticed, is Jesus Saves. Yesterday, today, forever. The Sermon on the Mount is a sermon by Jesus, and it runs from Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. It's a long discourse, and so I encourage you to read it and to listen to it and to study it this year. Today, our message, again, it's for who?
Everybody.
Thank you. You're paying attention. Our message today is for everybody, and it's kind of a forest message. It's like looking at the whole forest as we kind of get into the Sermon on the Mount. We'll be looking at the trees. We'll be studying each of the trees, but as we introduce it last week and this week and maybe a little bit more the next time, we're talking about the forest, but it's a message that's for everybody. I'm going to ask everybody to stand, and I'm going to read our passage. It's at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. Verses 24 through 27. It'll be up on the screen, and you can find it on page 1247 in the Journey Bible. And this is the last passage, basically, in the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Yet, it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is God's word. You may be seated. There are three truths that from this passage that apply to everybody. So let's jump right in. The first one is this: everybody builds their house on something. Everybody. Some of you know this because you've built a house before and you had to choose what you were going to build it on, what the foundation was going to be. You may have done a crawl space. You may have done a slab. You may have put a basement. Brenda and I, we've looked at real estate in the area. This is the first area I've lived in where I've saw this kind of foundation. Wood. A wood foundation. Now, you may have a wood foundation house. I'm not picking on you. I was just very surprised by that, to see wood as a foundation. In this story that Jesus is telling, this parable, the house is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for life. And what he's saying to us at the end of this message He's saying that everybody builds their life on something. And the big question today, what are you building your life on? What are you building your life on? In the story, the wise person builds his life on a good foundation, the rock. Let's look at that passage again, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Here is the rock, everybody. The person who hears the Lord's words. Who hears the Lord's words. Talked about this last week, that the Lord's words save. He hears the Lord's words and he puts them into practice. In other words, he intellectually understands. He intellectually has knowledge about what Jesus says, and that is put into daily living. It begins with prioritizing the Lord's word and then growing into practicing it. But the foolish person, it says, builds his house, builds his life, his or her life, on a faulty foundation. You know, we might speculate what that is, what that is. It's sand, is what Jesus says. We might speculate what that might look like. Could you put the picture of J.J. Redick up on the screen, please? J.J. Redick is a basketball player, veteran NBA basketball player. Some of you may have read this a number of weeks ago. He was kind of criticizing the younger players in the league, in the NBA, the National Basketball Association. And one of his quotes from this was that they're more concerned with their Instagram accounts than wins and losses. And then he said there are more guys more concerned about getting a pregame fit on Instagram than doing their job. Now, I had to investigate what a fit was because I didn't know what it was. But it's kind of like taking your shirt off and showing how fit you are. That doesn't work as you get a little older, does it, everybody? And so he was criticizing them, and because they're, he didn't say this, but we're saying this, that's building a life on sand. If your social media presence is your foundation, that's sand. Here's another picture, if you put up the next one. This one is a bunch of stuff at an auction. And it's actually Bernie Madoff's auction. The auction of Bernie Madoff's stuff. And what was his life built on? Well, it was built on materialism. And maybe other things you could argue. And to build his life on materialism, he had to create a Ponzi scheme where he embezzled millions, if not more, dollars. And that was sand. You know, these are all faulty foundations, and there's many, many more we could talk about, and it might be a great discussion to have with your family, with your children, if you have them. But let me point out the faulty foundation that Jesus specifically talks about in this passage. And it may be one that really should be listened to by church people that go to church. Let me read it. This is verse 26 of that same chapter 7. But everybody who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. He's again talking about a certain kind of foundation. It's a foundation where people have heard and they intellectually know the Lord's teaching. They understand it. They've had it in their lives. Perhaps they grew up in a home where they heard it, or they've been to church, but they're not bringing it into their life. They're not putting it to practice. And this is what Jesus calls sand. Hearing his word, understanding the word, but ignoring its life value, ignoring the implications that it has on your life, Jesus is calling sand. Being a student of the word, but not working it into your life. You know, there's some people that love to argue about things and debate things and speculate about things. And a lot of energy can be spent on that. But Jesus says, hearing my words and applying it. But what happens with the foolish builder is they hear the word, but they apply some other teaching to their life. Some other foreign teaching supplants Jesus' teaching, and that is what they build their life on. Everybody builds their house on something. On what are you building your house? What are you building your life? I hope by the end of my talk here that you can kind of wrestle with that and really be able to articulate that, to maybe write that down. What are you building your life on? And now I want to move to why it's important and why I tell you with every bit of passion that I can. The second, everybody is going to experience storms. Everybody is going to experience storms. Look at this. This is kind of an interesting comparison. Both the wise person and the foolish person experience the storm in the parable, don't they? They both experience it. Different foundations, different choices, but storms. I think we think that, generally, I'm generalizing here, that if we live smart, if we live savvy, if we live wise, if we're really good with our lives, it'll go well with us. We will have a good life. Things will go smoothly. And when something doesn't go smoothly, it's somebody's fault. There's someone to blame because it didn't go right. For example, are you familiar with the story of Job? Raise your hand if you've heard of the story of Job. Most of us here have heard of the story of Job. Do you remember what's happening to Job? His family is dying. His finances are in shambles. His health is eroding. And what do his friends say to him? Do you remember? What do his friends say to him? Job, you must have done something wrong. That's what they say to him. What does his wife say to him? This is the most encouraging wife I've ever heard of. Does anybody know what she said? She said, Job, curse God and die. Wow, with friends like that, who needs enemies? What do we do when a storm comes into our life? This is certainly what Americans do. We believe it's somebody's fault. Somebody did it to us. Somebody must have screwed up. Tim Keller, he's one of my favorite authors, and he's a pastor. He says this. He says, we have this notion that if we do everything right, life will be smooth. Jesus Christ lived as perfect of a life as a person could possibly live, and yet he had a horrific life. Everything went wrong. Jesus, on one occasion, he says, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He was homeless. Jesus was accused, falsely accused, betrayed by friends, tortured, and he was crucified. The point is this: it doesn't matter who you are. In this space down here, you are going to face storms. Absolutely true. You are going to face storms. Look what it says over in the book of James. Book of James chapter 1. Right at the beginning of the book, James is writing to a persecuted church. He is writing to people who were martyred, who their stuff was taken away. We know nothing of this stuff. And this is what he says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's, my friends, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of whenever you are going to face trials. We studied this last year in Romans. You could probably find it. There is purpose in suffering. That's not our main point today. But I want, there's purpose in suffering. And that's why it's not prejudice about who gets some. We are all going to experience heavy rain. We're all going to experience rising rivers. We're all going to experience violent winds. These things are going to come and they're going to beat against your house. They're going to beat against your life. Heavy rain might be disappointments that keep coming up at work. Or heavy rain may be in your marital relationship. It might be a conflict in your neighborhood. Or it may be somebody left the freezer open and all the ice cream melted. That has happened to me before. That ticks me off. Rising rivers, to me, is like the tide. Have you ever been to the ocean? The tide that's coming in. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. It keeps coming in. And it's slow, and it's sure, and it's destructive. It could be a serious medical condition, and we have some of them here. It could be a struggling child that you have, that your heart breaks for. It could be money issues that at every end of the month, like clockwork, it comes up. Here comes the tide again. Here comes the river rising. Violent winds beating against the house. To me, in my mind, that's like the big blow. That's like the death blow. The deaths that come. The deaths that we handle in life. It could be the end of a marriage, the death of a marriage, a betrayal, a lawsuit, an addiction that is ruining everything in your life. The storms are going to come, my friends. And Brendan and I, we've had them. We've been married 25 years this past year. Can't believe it. Especially when Brenda's 29. It really messes up my math here. I've been a pastor 26 years. 26 years. Can't believe it. And we have faced many storms. Brenda's dad died at 53. We just spent yesterday at a family member's funeral, a young man. When you're getting close to 50, you can call someone around 50 a young man who took his life from Brenda's family. We were at the funeral, third grade daughter. In ministry, we've experienced conflict. We've experienced betrayal. We've experienced loneliness. It's tough to lead a church. It's lonely. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When these storms come, they're going to come. And the big question, are you ready? That's the big question. Are you ready for the storm? Are you building your life on something flimsy, sand that's just going to wash away and you're going to have problems? Are you ready? You have to be ready. I love you. I care about you. I care about this church, and I pour my heart out to you. You got to be ready. And so that's the the last, let me just say this. Let me read this verse here. Verse 26 and 27. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Look at this verse. Pay special attention to 27. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The collapse was great. On the ski hill, somebody goes down the ski hill, and they do a wild world of sports. Some of you don't know what that means. Some of you do. Today, we call it a yard sale. And it's right in front of everybody. And this is the kind of thing that we're talking about here. Great is the crash. So firstly, everybody builds their life on something. And the big question is, what are you building your life on? Be honest. What are you truly building your life on? Don't give me some, you know, religious answer. In reality, what are you building your life on? And then secondly, everyone is going to face storms. I don't know what it is. I can't look in my little crystal ball and tell you what you're going to face, but you will face it. And then here's the last everybody truth. Everybody can build their life on the rock. Everybody. Everybody can build their life on the rock. You know, if this is coming across heavy today, there's a lot of reasons for that. I'll just share without getting into all of them. But I'll just tell you, this is the most hopeful thing that you can hear. It's the most hopeful thing I can tell you with all of my heart, that you can have a secure foundation. You can. You can build your life on a foundation that will last, that will hold up in life. Jesus is ending the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying, who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, he who has regard for my teaching, who values my teaching and puts them to work in their life, they will build their life on the rock. They will have a secure foundation. What does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to have a secure foundation? Let me give you a little picture. Some of this is just from my own personal life, okay? It'll mean peace in the storm. When you build your life on a firm foundation, the rock of Jesus, you will have peace in the storm. There's a story that I just read Friday morning after the Sermon on the Mount, where the disciples get in the boat with Jesus. He falls asleep. And what's called in the Greek a sesmos kicks up. Sesmos, it sounds like something that might be associated with earthquake, right? Well, that's because that's the word for earthquake. But on the Sea of Galilee, a sesmos is a storm, a violent storm that just kicks up. It can be sunny days, and then all of a sudden, a storm kicks up. And it's violent, and it's raging, and there's fury in it. And the disciples are in this boat, and they are freaking out, and Jesus is sleeping. And they go to Jesus. They rise him up. And he says, why are you cowardly? Oh, you have a little faith, excuse me. And it says he rebuked the wind and the waves. There was a great sesmos, and now there was a great calm. See, that's when you know that you are in the boat, that your life is built on the rock, when you know that you have that security, it brings peace. No, you cannot control the waves. You cannot control the wind. You cannot control the rain and all those things that we just talked about. But you know that you can trust him. Something I sang to my wife on our wedding day, and it rings true today for some particular reasons, but we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Amen? We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. So peace in the storm. When the storm comes, you can have joy. That's what this is about. You can have joy in the midst of bad circumstances. Seems impossible, but you can. Because joy isn't about your circumstances. It's about knowing who is yours. So you can have joy in the midst of difficulty. And one of the biggest, I want to say, fountains of joy is that the Lord's teaching that we will experience this year informs us that through trials, God is at work. In the storm, He is working. He is doing something of value in your life, and that gives us joy and hope. So I said peace, and then I said joy, and now I say hope. You can have hope. Hope that is eternal. And that's why we're saying in this series, Jesus saves. Yesterday, maybe when I first got saved, today, like in my life right now, and forever. He saves forever. This is not just a snapshot in history. This is forever. Hope that is eternal. Things may be rough now, but we can have this kind of hope that there will be a time, there will be a day when those who trust the Lord will always be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Boom. How do you get there? How do you get there? How do you build? How do you begin to build? I don't know. I don't even know what to do. And I just three things I'm going to throw up on the screen and just think about them. Positioning yourself to hear God's word, to hear the Lord's words. We talked about that last week. That was the main point of our talk, was putting yourself in a position to prioritize, to hear God's word. Secondly, is just figuring out how to practice what you're hearing. How to bring into your life. How to live it. How to, by faith, trust it more than you trust the other things that you may be building your life on. And then this is something we're going to talk about throughout this series, because you cannot keep the Sermon on the Mount, you cannot keep the Lord's teaching without God's empowerment. Your will has to be in it, right here, baby. It's got to be in it. But you cannot do it without the Holy Spirit, without the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And that's really cool. And have you ever heard of the flywheel mentality, or the flywheel understanding? It's just the idea of tiny pushes in the same direction until breakthrough. Tiny pushes in the same direction. Just get up, hear the word. Take something from it and try to practice it. Trust God that He will empower you every day. Tiny pushes. Tiny pushes on the flywheel. You're not going to be perfect. Brenda, I could have her up here. She could testify. Norm Byers is not perfect. I could have all the elders come up here and testify. Norm Byers is not perfect. I could have people come up and testify in your life. You're not perfect, right? Amen? Amen? Are we all there? But you know what? It's not about that. It's about tiny pushes in the same direction. Oh, I fell today. It's okay. God is merciful. He's forgiving. He brings you back in. Tiny pushes in the same direction until breakthrough. What is your foundation built on? Will it withstand the storms? That's really the big question of the day. Will your foundation withstand the storms? The storms that will come. If your foundation is built on social media presence, if your social media presence doesn't grow, or if something happens that sullies your reputation, or something in your family happens that sullies your reputation or your family's reputation, and it's sand. Some people, it's very common to build their lives on their kids or on their families. That's their big thing. And so I'm not saying, your families are very important. But if that's your foundation, if they grow up and move away, or they grow up and they disappoint, what is your life? It's empty. It's broken. I'm going to talk about pastors. I'm a pastor. So pastors, sometimes... Or church leaders as well. They build their life on their church. They build their life, the rock, or what they build their life on, the foundation, is the church. So if it's going well, they feel good, they're happy, things are good. And how many people are coming? If it's more than last year, then they're happy. The influence that they have, that's important. And I just want to tell you, this is something Brent and I, we've talked about over the years. We've talked about this lure, this understanding, and even recently, very recently, we've talked about this. And I just want you to know, very, very plain, Genesis Church is not our foundation. It's not. It's not our foundation. Our foundation is the Lord. He is. And we trust him. We put our hope in him. We know he will take care of us in the storms. We face storms, and we'll face more. There's no question about it. We rely on his direction, and he's the one that directs us. And there, I just want to tell you this. I mean, I'm just being as gut honest as I can with you. There is no better place to be than that. There's no better place to be than in the boat with the one who can calm the storm. No better place to be. And I just want you to know, I want to woo you. I want to encourage you to go all in. He can give you peace. He can fill you with joy. He can give you hope, even in the midst of something that feels very hopeless. I'm going to have the band come up right now. And we're gonna do a, we call it a reflection song. It's a time to reflect. I want to invite you to stand up right now. I'm going to invite you to stand up as the band comes. The band is going to help us just with some space here just to think about what God's word says and what I've shared from it. A band is going to come and do that. And I just want to say this, that God may be pulling at your heart this morning. God may be pulling at your heart. You may realize today that you are building your life on sand and you need a redo. Has anyone here ever needed a redo with God? Raise your hand. Oh man, thank you. Thank you. You need a redo. You need a mulligan. Anybody had a mulligan before? Some of you golfers. God offers mulligans. He gives redos. Amen. He gives them to us. And you need one. It just takes repentance. It just takes acknowledgement. It takes bowing your knee to him, admitting your failures, and relying on his mercy. Okay? Relying on his mercy and his grace. That's what it takes. Maybe you realize you know way more about the Lord and his teaching than you're living out. I won't have you raise your hand, but maybe that's, you're like, that's me. I know way more. I know exponentially more about the Lord's teaching than I'm actually putting to practice in my life. And you're convicted by that today. And if you are, I am glad. I am glad that you're convicted by that. And it's time to acknowledge that by action. It's time to acknowledge that by action. If God is dealing with you in some way that I described or in a different way, I want to ask you to come forward and to grab a knee as the band plays this reflection song. I want to ask you to come up here and just grab a knee and as an action to submit to what God is doing in your life. I have personally found that posturing myself before the Lord is an incredibly freeing and life-giving. And I want you to practice that. If God is moving, I'm not trying to manipulate anything here. If God isn't doing anything right now, then do not come up to show, you know, to do something that is outside of what God is doing. At the very end, the prayer teams will be here at the end of the gathering. If you want to stay and be prayed for, you can be, or you can just return back at the end of the gathering. So I'm just going to pray, and then the band will play. And again, if God is moving in your heart and action is required, we have an open front. Dear God, I thank you for your word, that it's powerful. It is powerful, and it changes lives. I thank you that you save. You saved yesterday, you saved today, and you save forever. Forever. I thank you for that. And may it be, Lord, may it be that some of us get saved today in some real ways for your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.